praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you've got that confidence that you're going to make it? Now tell me how you're going to make it. You're going to make it by the grace of God. You're going to make it by His help. You're going to make it because you have been ordained to make it. In this hour, you've been placed here to live in this current world, in its current condition, to be an overcomer right here in Satan's living room. Aren't you glad you're an overcomer? Look at somebody and say, we are overcomers. You didn't look at somebody. You just looked at me. Look at somebody else. We're overcomers tonight. Isn't it good to know that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh my goodness. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you come to church tonight to have church? We're going to have some church here tonight, I promise you. The Lord is so mindful of His people. And He wants you to have a better service a lot more than you want to have a better service. He's out for your good. I'm telling you, He is out for your good. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe it with all your heart? Shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Let's sing that one more time, guys, if you will. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said, God bless you. Brother Samuel, God bless you. God bless you, my friend. Love you, buddy. God bless you, my brother. Appreciate you. He walks beside me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. It's such an honor to get to be in the house of God tonight. I've told certain people this in the auditorium, and I say it from my heart when I say it. But you all, every one of you, you make a good church a better church by being here. And I mean that with all my heart. You do. You make a good church a better church by your being here. Now look at somebody and tell them that. You make a good church a better church by just being here. I mean that, guys. Every one of you, you make this church, it's a good church, but you make it better by being here. I appreciate it. Let's give the Lord a good hand tonight. Amen. Amen. There's some wonderful sheep that attends Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. And you have been made wonderful, good, godly people by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And by His mercy and grace. And I'll forever thank Him for that, won't you? Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer requests tonight, just for a few minutes. I want to pray for Sister Estep, Sister Donna Pistole, and Jaden Harmon, all sick tonight, unable to be in the service. So we certainly want to pray for those folks, that the Lord will be mindful of them. I want to pray for Tiffany Smith-Peters, who has the flu. Let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. And Brother Wade sends this in. My neighbor fell off of a ladder and hurt his ankle very badly. Pray for his recovery. So we certainly just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Brother Mike Walls has bronchitis, needs prayer. So let's remember him tonight as we pray. Sister Joanne Tessa is in the hospital with pneumonia. Request the church's prayer. So we certainly want to pray for her tonight. The Lord would be mindful of her. We want to continue to pray for Sister Teresa Roberts. I understand she is doing better as time goes by, suffering from the little strokes and things that was going on with her. But she is in therapy and is recovering quite well. So we thank the Lord for that. So just want to let you know about that. I want to continue to pray for Sister Sharon Ward. She is in the rehab center right now. They're trying to get her built back up a little bit, her strength-wise. So let's remember her, Brother Rocky, the Ward family, and that the Lord would be mindful unto those folks. I want to pray for Brother Eddie Jablonski's father. He's facing very serious health uncertainties and is seeking guidance and healing from the Lord. So we just commit that unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Donnie, Brother Darrell, Brother Daniel Ball, as they're, I believe, in Illinois, a few days rest and on a hunting trip. Let's just pray that God will give them safety and be with them. And, you know, we all hate to see our pastor leave and go away. But I can imagine what the devil, how bad he hated to see him leave. Because you know what? Some of Brother Donnie's greatest messages just come in the woods. Really, he'll tell you that. Some of his, the Lord just inspired him wonderfully on a hunting trip. And we get to reap the benefits of it. So I say, as bad as we hate to see him leave, the devil hated to see him climb in those woods a lot more than we did. But we want to pray that God will just give him peace, give him safety, give him a good, restful trip. And we're going to pull the wagon while they're away, aren't we? Amen. All right. I've got your promise on that, don't we? Brother David Siler is going to speak for us tonight. And there's another family that made a good church better. Amen. By their being here. So we appreciate those folks. I want to welcome to the service tonight Brother Roger Andrews, Barbara, Caitlin, Curtis, and Dallas. Is that Burton? I hope I got those names right. Curtis Burton, Dallas Burton, Caitlin, Barbara, and Roger Andrews. Where are those folks? I saw them just a minute ago somewhere over here. Raise your hand right back here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. So glad to have you as visitors tonight with us. We're glad you're here. All of those that are streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's stand tonight. We're going to pray over these prayer requests. You have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God is more than able? Do you know He's more than able with all your heart tonight? Do you believe that? Brother West, would you come tonight? Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother West Willis, don't we? Love you, buddy.
Let's bow our heads. Father, before me is several names, Lord, people that are sick, injured, and trying to recover, Lord, and different needs. And Father, we know that we can just rest. We can just have peace in our hearts, knowing when we lay these requests before you that it's a serious thing. It seems so many times, Lord, like it's just every service we come up here and we speak over these requests and we pray. And it's hard to believe sometimes, if you just look on the outside, that something's actually taken place. But all of heaven takes notice, Lord, when your bride comes before you and gathers together in a group like this and believes in one accord. And your faith comes flowing through like a river, Lord. Lord, we just apply the faith that you've given us to these requests tonight, believing with all of our heart that you're definitely going to take care of them, Lord. Lord, if we could just put our shoulder to the wheel, like we were talking about the other night, Lord, when Abraham was going around telling people that he was going to be a father. How many people actually put their shoulder to their wheel and just believed with Him? Lord God, we are together tonight as Your body, as Your bride, and we're believing for these folks, Lord. Some of them are sicker than others, but Lord, everybody that's sick is looking to You for healing because You're the only source of healing, Lord. So Lord, we're trusting You with this, and Lord, we're trusting this service into Your hands. Lord, our brother's back there. He's been studying. He's been preparing. Lord, I know how the nerves come down upon You, Lord, and how the pressure of bringing the burden of the Word in before the people, Lord, how strong that is. But I know that my brother can shoulder it because You've called him to do it. We thank You, Lord, for preparing him tonight. We thank You for the words You're about to speak to us. And Lord, we're going to receive them with joy and with gladness. Lord, no matter what it is, if it's correction or if it's some kind of uplifting thing, Lord, no matter what it is, we're going to receive it with gladness, Lord, and thanksgiving. And we're just so fortunate, Lord, to be among those who are here tonight to hear Your word as You come down. You, a holy God, comes down before His bride and speaks words of life. And we're here to hear it, Lord, and we're so grateful. Thank You, Lord, for everything You're going to do. Just bless the continuance of this service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, buddy. Ushers, you want to come at this time? We'll receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. Are you going to help me sing?
Amen.
Amen. This is just what heaven means to me. It's a city we've heard about all of our lives, but it's getting closer to us every second that we live in it. Amen. Let's see if we can do that. We'll do the chorus. Start the first verse. First verse.
It's a country where no twilight shadows deep.
Unending
day where night will never be. Oh, it's a city where no storm clouds ever gather.
Church with all your heart. I'm rich. I'm rich. Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight just before we change the order of the service. I believe Sister Caitlin from over Brother Joe Green's assembly is here with us again this weekend. Going to be singing for us tonight. And if she's here in the morning, the Lord willing. But let's sing this little song tonight. You may not have a nickel in the bank, but if you've got Jesus Christ, you're the richest human being in the world. You believe that? Well, Lord of mercy. Rest of you counting on your nickels. Do you believe that tonight? Are you glad about it? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I've been moving to a mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. We're so thankful for that. So thankful for that. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated, Sister Caitlin. If you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. While she's coming, getting ready, let's just continue to sing a little bit of that chorus tonight. I'm rich. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Yes, I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
Just how
Certainly appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand. Brother Harry's going to give us a song tonight. And I can't think of nothing I'd rather hear right now than to him sing, "The Dove Leads the Lamb." I mean that. You make a good church better too, buddy. Give him a good hand tonight as he sings. It's ready to come.
Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The elect are feeling a stir inside their heart. This our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord. Shout with righteousness that's not my own. I stand just before His throne, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, evening light has come, the bride is making preparation. We're hearing the shout of our King. The token's been applied, He's cleaning from inside.
How many believes He still leads the Lamb? I believe if you got Him inside of you, He'll lead you too. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. I want to start there and we'll read down to verse 16 tonight. We'll give you our subject and let you be seated. Hebrews chapter 4. We want to look at verse 14. It's certainly a privilege to be here this weekend in the house of the Lord, and I'm just under expectation what the Lord's going to say. I believe He's going to speak to hearts, and I believe He's going to touch lives tonight. You believe that? Amen. I trust you come expecting that and believing the Lord's going to move on our behalf. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, and let us hold fast our profession. Brother Bram, of course, says that word is confession. Let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. But here's the difference. Yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. How strange it must have been for Him to say this to Jews, that whenever they would go into the holiest of all, that they would come, and there had to be a certain kind of a priest, and you come just almost just scared to death, knowing, wondering what God's going to do. But then Paul, when he brings it to the New Testament, he said, when we come to the throne, let's just come boldly. Which means we've got rights to be there, and we can ask whatever we have need of, He's going to provide it. And then he said that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. And this is what I like to speak on tonight. And help in the time of need. And I like to speak on that. The Lord will help us tonight. Just for a few moments, the power of your need. The power of your need. Let's just go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask Him to come. Heavenly Father, we come into this place tonight, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts. And Lord, we are so thankful that You've given us this time to be able to come. And Lord, now that we have come to this place, we are just looking to You, that You would just come. And Lord, You could break the bread of life to our hearts once again. And Lord, You know every need that's in this place. And we're asking, Lord, that You would just send Your word among us, Lord. For Your word, Lord, it's everything we have need of tonight. And we ask, Lord, that You would just take, Lord, help Your children tonight. Lord, help me as I just surrender to You, Lord. Any gift that I might have would just to be able just to surrender, Lord, and just move aside for a few moments to let You come and speak to Your children's hearts. We're thankful tonight, Lord, for this privilege. Father, we ask now, may You bless the service. Anoint us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, we was just looking this week and just praying the direction that the Lord would just have us to go and what he would just have us to say, and a lot of directions we could go, and this might seem like the simplest message you probably ever heard in your life, but this is just what I felt led to preach tonight. So we'll just be obedient, and you don't have to worry about wondering if you're going to be able to figure out where we're coming from. Just a simple evangelistic thought tonight. We thought we would just try that. But I'm thankful for services like this, because I think in places like we're in tonight, the things that we deal with, that we're in a great place that God can come and meet our needs. We're living in a day where it seems that everywhere we turn, no matter what it would be, everyone has so many needs. As I travel from place to place, I find most of the places we go to, the needs is overwhelming. It's overwhelming to my mind to think of how much that God's children is dealing with and putting up with during this time. And I'm sure if we would take the time to go through every row and go to every person in this place and take the time, I'm sure every person in this building has some kind of a need that you brought into this place tonight. There's something that we have need of. There's never been a time that there's such needs that's among us. And really, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. We got to face facts that our young people in this place tonight, they got needs. Young people, your mom and dad, they got needs. Our family's got needs. Our church has got needs. We all got needs tonight. And the reason why, it's because we're living in such a demanding age where everything is demanding a part of our lives. But I want to say this tonight as I look into this thought just for a few moments, that I think it's a good thing for us to have a need. Just let me lay this, don't kill the mailman tonight. I think it's good that we got needs sometimes. Because if we've got needs, then somewhere along the line, we must have a provider. And if you've got a provider of your need, if you have a supplier of your need, amen, somebody. If you've got a God that can help during your time of need, no matter how low you get, no matter how much trouble you go through, no matter how bad it looks, if you got a provider in your time of need, somehow, some way, our God is going to come through for us. Now, it may get right down to the last minute, but He is going to come through for us. No matter what I'm facing, He's going to come through for me. No matter how desperate I get, and we get desperate sometimes, but He will come through for us. Amen. And I believe the thing we must remember is, as our sisters were singing tonight, our God is with us. He is a present tense God. He's not just a God of yesterday or not just a God of history, but the prophet said, we've got to lift Him up out of history. Amen. And remember that He is a present tense God, and He's here to meet my need, no matter how small it is, how great it is. He's here to meet my needs. David said it like this. David said in Psalms 139, he said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising, and Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. I say He's nearest tonight. He knows my thoughts. He knows when I'm up. He knows when I'm down. He knows when I'm discouraged. And He knows my thoughts tonight. He's near me. He said, Thou compassest my path with my lying down. You're acquainted with all of my ways. He knows me. He knows my disposition. He knows how I feel sometimes. He's not just a high priest, but He's my high priest. Amen. Thou compassest in my lying down and are acquainted. Oh, I love that. When David described Him, he said, Lord, You're acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, Lord, that Thou knowest it all together. Amen. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. No matter how low I get, He's there. No matter how far out I get, He's there. When I feel alone and it doesn't feel like He's within a million miles of me, I must remember by the promise of His Word. He said He is there. Oh, hallelujah. He's there. He's watching you. He knows. He's acquainted with you. He knows you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. He knows how you feel. He's been touched by the feelings of your infirmities. Oh, my. Did you know that Paul told us in the New Testament that when Paul began to describe God, that Paul, when he was describing Him in Colossians, says, "For by Him were all things created." Now, if I got a need, I need somebody that's big enough to meet that need. And Paul said, "If for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him." Watch the Bible. "And for Him." All things was created by. Listen, there's nothing here today that our God did not create to be for Him, because it was by Him. And then He says He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things consist because of Him. The word "consist," listen to this. It means that He places it together, to set in the same place, to bring or band together, to put together by composition. To put together, unite parts into one whole, to be composed of or consist of. In other words, it's by Him. He brings all things together. And He composes it, and He bands it together for Him, and by Him all things consist. In other words, there's nothing here today that's not held together by our God. Everything is held together by Jesus Christ. You take away Jesus, things begin to decompose. I can preach that somebody. I said, you take Jesus out of the equation, you've got problems. You take Jesus out of somebody's life, things begin to fall apart. Things begin to depose, because all things consist by Him. For the Scripture tells us in John 1 and 3, as I lay my foundation, He said, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Through faith, we understand the worlds, plural, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So if you take Jesus out of the world, things begin to fall apart. Lives decompose. People wonder why their lives fall apart whenever they walk away from God. It's because without Him, all things cannot consist. They're not banded together. They're not brought together into unity. You take Jesus out of somebody's life and they'll be immediately begin to fall apart. People wonder why that they can't hardly do nothing. I'll tell you, that's the reason we can't live without Him. We can't walk without Him. We can't get up without Him. I don't want to go without Him. I don't want to live without Him, because by Him all things consist. We understand through faith the world was framed by the Word of God. Think about that. If the world was framed by the Word of God, we believe it was. If you live in a country where the Word has been rejected, if the world was framed by the Word, then if you take the Word out of the world, the only thing that world can do is fall apart. The only thing that world can do is decompose. Because it's the Word that keeps it together. Don't you see? That's why the prophet preached the message. The world is falling apart. It's because the Word had been rejected in this nation. And when the Word becomes rejected and you take the Word away from the world, it falls apart automatically. Now Paul said, all things consist because of Him. Amen. Then in the book of Revelations, we find that in Revelation 19, which has something to do with me and you, we find that John heard the voice of a great multitude worshiping. And when John heard a multitude that was worshiping, he began to describe our God. John said in verse 6, I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It means, the word omnipotent means the Almighty, He who holds sway over all things. He's the ruler of all. He is Almighty God. When the church, the bride, begin to describe Him, their revelation of Him is He's omnipotent. Or like that black sister down in Georgia, He's omnipotent, bless God. The revelation of Him, the way they described Him, they're saying He controls all things. And there's nothing that moves, as David said, that God doesn't see what happens. And not only is He over all things, He rules over all things. For they said that He's omnipotent, He that reigneth. And the word reigneth, of course, it means to be king, to exercise kingly power. Glory. It means to reign, to exercise the highest influence, to control it. That tells me that Congress ain't in control of this world. Governments ain't in control of this world. Presidents ain't in control of this world. But my king tonight, oh, I wish you'd preach with me a minute. My king controls this world. He controls the affairs of man. And there's not one thing that happens that my king doesn't know what happens. He exercises the highest influence and control. That's who I serve tonight. That's who I worship tonight. That's who we adore. That's who we love. The one who exercises supreme control over all things. So He exercises control over everything that there is today. Every government, every society, every church, and even the devil. I want to tell you tonight, the devil ain't in control of my life. The devil doesn't dictate. He doesn't hold sway over what happens to me. But the king, omnipotent and reigneth, He's the one that controls our lives. He exercises kingly influence. He exercises kingly authority over our lives. And He does what He wants with us, for we are His children. He's our God. He's omniscient. He fills all space and time. He's everywhere at all times. Oh, hallelujah. Matter of fact, He surrounds me. He's all around me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He wakes up in the morning and He greets me in the morning. For He watched over me all night. Hallelujah. He watches over me. Am I lying down? Am I rising up? He watches over me. We sing that song. He's got it all in control. He's got, brother, I'm just singing. It's not just a song. It's not lyrics to a tune. It's a reality tonight. He's got it all in control. And there ain't nothing going on today. He don't know about how great your need is, how big your problem. Listen, why does it matter if you've got a need, if you've got a God that controls everything? Hallelujah. He's got it in control. Paul said it like this to the Ephesians. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised from the dead. He set Him on the right hand of the heavenly places, far above. Oh, listen to this. I care how big your need is tonight. Listen to this. He's far above principalities. He's not just above. He's not just barely inching above Him. He's far above Him, Paul said. He's far above principality. He's far above powers and mites and demons and everything, and every name that is named, not only in this world. Hallelujah. Not only in this world, but He's ahead. He's the head of the world that's to come. Hallelujah. He is the King of the kingdom that is coming and approaching us very suddenly, very quickly tonight. He's the head of that kingdom. He's the head of this day. He's the head of this night. He's the head of this service. And He's the God over your life because He's the God over your needs. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Fire above Prince. Oh, I'll stop preaching tonight. He's fire above principality. Care how great your need is. I want to remind you, it ain't how great your need is. It's how great your God is. You see what we're looking at? Why in the world would I allow the enemy to take my focus down to some things that are so small, things that are not even eternal, things that are tangible, and allow them to sway me? Preach, Brother David. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Why do I allow things, Brother Rob, that's so small sometimes, so insignificant, Brother Terry, that we should just be ruling over, and I allow it to sway my mind sometimes? Amen. I'll just be honest, there's days I'm ruled by feelings, and I got to bring feelings under His principality. Amen, somebody. He's far above, hallelujah, far above power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world that's to come. Watch now. He's put, what's your Bible say right there? Some things. He's put all things under His feet. Now watch why He can do this. And He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. His decreed spot is to be the head of the church, the head, oh glory. He's the head of the body. And the head of the house, his responsibility is to provide. The husband's job, the head, is to provide for the body. That's what our God does. He provides our every need. He's a provider. He's to be the head over all things of the church, which is His body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I love it because whenever He's going to describe Him, so well, how much does He feel? I mean, how much could our God fill out? And whenever Paul began to look at Him and describe Him, he said, well, He fulfills all. Wait a minute. Let me add another one to that. He fulfills all and all. Paul said, He's put all things under His feet. He said He's the head of the church. To bring all things to the church. Amen. Which means he's the husbandman. And Paul said He filleth all in all. Now watch what the head of the church does for you and I. He filleth. He filleth. Which means, oh God, to make full. If you ain't full, He's going to make you full. To fill up. To cause to abound. To furnish or supply liberally. I abound. I am liberally supplied to render full and complete. If you are in Christ and He's the head of your life, you can only be complete when you're in Christ. To render full, to complete, to fill to the top. Well, watch this. So that nothing shall be wanting to full measure. It literally means fill to the brim. I'm talking about your daddy tonight. What's the word? He's our husband, right? To consummate. Amen. A number to make complete in every particular. Every particular. To render perfect. Oh God, have mercy. To render perfect. To carry through to the end. Glory to God. Oh, Brother David, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it. I don't know how you're going to keep from making it. Amen. Hey, if I was carrying myself and I was dependent upon my feelings, my emotions, my humanity, brother, I'd give up a long time ago. But because He's my head tonight, He's got me in His arms and He's carrying me all the way to the end. He's not going to carry me halfway and drop me. He's not going to carry me and forget about me. He's going to carry me all the way to the end. Hallelujah! To accomplish or carry out, He's going, you know what He's got to do for me? He's got to do some undertaking. He don't just furnish my needs. And not only does He fill me up, He fills my cup so full. There's times that my cup overflows. There's times in this building right here that we get here in His presence and He moves around us and you lift your hands as a sign of surrender and He moves on me. Brother, ain't nothing like it in the world. I long to be in that presence. I live for those moments. I live for those moments when He sways me and He moves me and He fills me up and He picks me up and He carries me. I long for those days. Hallelujah! Oh, brother, there ain't no addiction like this Jesus we serve. Amen. Hey, brother, you talking about addiction. People addicted to cocaine. People addicted to drugs and all kinds of things. Oh, I remember some of the scripture. Paul said he's addicted. Hey, man, there ain't no high like the Most High. He fills our cups. And I'm talking about the power of your need. He fills my cup till it runs over. And He didn't just give me just enough. There's times He liberally supplies me beyond what I can even measure. It's hard to even explain. You can't even explain how He does it. The way He does it in simplicity sometimes overwhelms us. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what Satan has to go through to get to you? Can you imagine what the devil has to fight through just to get to you? I'm amazed at what the enemy of my soul has to do to get one of his darts to hit my front door. Amen. And when he does get to me, and I feel like I'm empty, and I don't feel like I got no joy, and we all got needs. Amen, somebody. And I feel like I just don't think I can make it to service Wednesday night. I don't think I can make it to service. My strength is low and I need some spiritual vitamins. I need some spiritual strength. That's when God comes by and picks you up. I love it because sometimes it's the least expected way. I love God when He shows up unexpectedly. I love it. I love when He shows up. You wasn't expecting it. You wasn't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden He just showed. You could be driving down the road and just sitting there listening to a tape and the presence of God dropping your vehicle and the King comes by to supply liberally. I love when He shows up unexpectedly. I mean, we expect Him to be here at church. We expect Him to move, don't we? But I said, we should come expecting. I love it when you're sitting there, maybe you're hammering a nail in, or maybe you're sweeping a floor, mopping a floor, and the presence of God just drops something in your heart, and you just can't help but smile and say, thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. You wonder where those things, where does those scriptures come from? When a song hits your heart, you begin to sing a song out of nowhere, and you think, where'd that song come from? I'll remind you, the devil will never put a song in your heart. He'll never put a song of rejoice on your lips. He'll never put a song of praise on your lips. If that comes to you, it had to come from the King who reigneth over all things. Hallelujah. He filleth. I said He filleth. Amen. He filleth all. And all, He picks me up. He fills me up. He lifts me up. Here it is, even from the very beginning. Whenever God began to create, the scripture says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Period. I'm talking about God that filleth all space and time. You believe that? I'm talking about a God who is omniscient, omnipresent, and infinite. I'm finite. He's infinite. And the Bible said that He created the heaven and the earth, which means He took His Word. Watch. And He manifested His Word. Hallelujah. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But when He created it, watch the way He created it. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and a need. He had a need. Woo. I'm going to say it again. The one who created the earth put a need in it. Amen. How can the deep call it to the deep? And amen, somebody. How can it call it unless the one who created it designed me to have needs? He created it. It was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know what that tells me? God fix them, do something. He sees the need, God's fixing. He's fixing to tear something up, man. I mean, He's fixing. He sees a need, God's fixing to do something. Because there's a void there. And when God sees a void, God sees a need. No framework, no character, no structure. The whole thing was complete cosmos, was just empty and void. Can I say this? God likes empty. He does. You know why I say that? Opposed to somebody who's filled up with everything else but God. Because if you're empty, God can do something with you. The woman whose meal barrel went low, she would have not even had a need if her meal barrel's full. But because it was empty, glory! Elijah come by her way. Brother, when you can't help yourself and you can't do it by yourself and you're so empty and you're flat on your back and you got a need and there ain't nobody else can fill that meal barrel up but Him, don't worry. He filleth all in all. He's seen a void. And now because there's a void, when God sees an earth that is empty and darkness is upon it, the scripture says, what's the Bible? The earth was without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. Watch what happens when God sees a void and the Spirit of God moved. What? Watch. What causes God to move when He sees the void? When He sees the emptiness, it calls us to, oh God, don't you see why He visits us? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What caused God to move? The emptiness did. The void did. The darkness did. There was a need. Brother, if you want God to move on your behalf, I dare you to have a need. Just have a need. Now it's just us here tonight. Can we have church just for a minute? Darkness had a grip upon this earth. And it said, I'm not going to let you go. Think about it. Voidness, emptiness, darkness on the face of the deep. And then the Spirit moved. And when God shows up, He always shows out. When God shows up, whatever it was, it ain't going to be the same when He gets done with it. I said, when God shows up and you really have something, God, like happen in your life, you ain't going to tell me you're going to come up from here a wet eye, a dry eye sinner, and leave a dry eye sinner. Brother, you come to give your heart to God and you're sorry for it. I don't believe in a bunch of dry confessions. Brother, if you're sorry for what you did, you're sorry for it. Tell me you're sorry for what you did and come down here and talk to God about 2 seconds and jump back up and run back. Brother, you never got nothing. But let me say this. If you come to God and say, God, I'm pouring everything I got before you. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I ain't going to leave this place until you touch me. When God sees void and emptiness, the Spirit of God begins to move. And darkness loses its grip. Hallelujah. That's the story of my life. Darkness lost its grip and God showed up and He spoke directly to my needs. You said He spoke? Yes, He spoke. And He said, let there be light. And there was light. God did. Watch what He did. He manifested His Word to fill up what needed to be filled up. Amen. Amen. I remember one day, Jesus was headed from Jerusalem to Jericho. But the problem was, Jesus got off the path and He went up into the mountains of Samaria. And He got up there and He sat down by Jacob's well. And the disciples come to Him and said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, I need you to go buy some food. What are we doing here? I got need. I got need to go by Samaria. And Brother Ram tells us, as Brother Ram used St. John 4 probably more than any other scripture in the whole Bible. And Brother Ram tells us that there was a predestinated, elected seed down inside that woman that was calling for the Messiah. Yes, sir, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. There was emptiness and void there. Oh, but the Spirit of God began to move because He had need to go by Samaria. Hallelujah! He saw a need! And it brought Him present. Glory! It brought Him present to the well. Because He saw a need. Darkness had a grip on her life. Amen, somebody. Darkness had a grip on her. No doubt the devil swore he'd have her and she would never serve God. She'd only be religious. And then the Spirit moved. Hallelujah. And Brother Ram tells us, he said some of that water from that well got over on top of that seed. Let me know if he says that. He said some of that water, oh brother, it got down on that seed and began to spring to life. And when it began to spring to life, it began to fill the void that was in that life. It filled that need. Brother, that's the story of mine, your life. Amen. That's the story of what God did for every one of us. Where there's a void, He fills it up. Where there's a hunger, He supplies it. Where there's a thirst, He's got water. Amen. He's the rock in the wilderness. He's the manna that falls out of heaven. He's the water that comes out of the rock. Think about it. He's the supplier. Everything you have need of, He's always been the supplier. Face facts. I got needs. We all have needs. But I say that's good. Because the well need no physician. But if there's a need there, if there's a desire there, there's a void there, and it causes you to cry out. Think about it. It moves you to the place where you cry out and it causes you to seek God. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother, what's the best sermon you ever heard? I said, it was the one I needed the most. Preach, Brother David. It's the one I needed the most for that moment. It's the best one I ever heard. The one where I had a need and God come down and took care of my need. Amen, somebody. If there's a need, if there's a need, that tells me there's got to be an answer to it. How many of us, Brother Ram, say if there's a Bible question, there's a... Amen. You got it, brother. If he's that concerned about his word, preach somebody. If he's that concerned about his word, and it causes you to seek God, God knows my mindset. David said he knows my uprising, my lying down. You ever get there, Lord? Sometimes the best services is when you come here and you got the greatest needs. Best service I've ever been is the greatest need in my life. And it moves me into compassion. It moves me to cry out and say, God, if you don't meet this need, I'm in trouble. I'm talking about getting real with Him. Not just some put on religious thought. I'm talking about getting right down, getting real with Him. Lord, if you don't meet this need, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm desperate for you. I think that gets His attention. Don't you? How can God bypass it when you're telling Him, Lord, that ain't nobody, ain't nothing can touch me the way you touch me. Ain't nothing can move me the way you move me. Lord, if you don't move, well, this family's in trouble. Lord, if you don't move, this marriage is a mess. Preach somebody. Lord, if you don't move, this sickness is ruling. Come on, somebody. But when you get desperate and you get that nagging, passionate desire, for lack of better words, it puts you into an atmosphere where you're so desperate, it moves you to tears. It moves you. Oh my, can you imagine what you're emanating from your being, and God sees it. He knew it before you ever got here. He knew it before you ever woke up this morning. He knew the trial that you would go through today, last week. Amen, somebody. He knows. He knows. He knows all of it. Let's face facts. Those people don't think they need Him. But I'm not one of them people. Amen. You can't explain. I'm going to hurry. You can't explain to people why you have a passionate desire to worship. It's hard to explain that. Isn't it hard to explain why you love Him so much? But why do you worship so loud? I need Him. Come on, church. Oh, here's your one. Why do y'all go to church so much? Because we need Him. Why do you holler so loud? Because I need Him. I'm not here for a social gospel. Come on, church. We're not here to please one another. We don't come here for a fashion show. We come here because we need Him. We come to this place to see Jesus. I need Him. I need Him. And I come tonight with a voice of mighty thunderings to say, hallelujah. He's a God that's omnipotent, reigneth. I need Him. No. You're not just God. Oh no, you're my God. You're not just a Savior. You're my Savior, my Redeemer. Well, God's a healer. No, He's more than that to me. He's my healer. So if you see tears coming down my cheeks, if you hear me getting a little bit loud, if you see me waving my hands up in the air, don't worry, that's just me needing more Jesus. That's just me needing more Jesus. Amen! I don't mean to ruin your quiet, polite, social, religious church, but I need Him tonight. I'm sorry if I wake you up. But I need Him. I need Him desperately. So excuse me. I said excuse me. Sometimes Brother Ram said you just got to elbow your way through. Amen. Just excuse, if I got a need, you're going to have to excuse me. Yeah, I might get a little loud. I may worship a little while. I may cry a little bit. It's only because I need more of Him. You realize, friend, you have no idea what the doctor told the person standing beside you this week. The day's a pretty polite, quiet, normal church. Them days is done. We got needs. Brother, we got needs. We can't afford to come in here and just socialize and just another social church, and we're just another social religious, just another church in the neighborhood. Oh no, we're not. We are worshipers tonight. Amen. We are worshipers, and we come to let Him know, I need more of you. Not here to socialize. I'm here to talk with Jesus. Woo. Brother, you don't know what people's home life is around you. You don't know the pressure that people's dealing with. You don't know the pressure our young people has on them. So if we get a little loud, just excuse me. Because my Bible tells me, according to Philippians 4:19, you know that I was going there. But my God, not the God, and not a God. Amen, somebody. You remember this conversation in the Scripture that Paul was thanking them because of the things that they'd sent. And Paul said, don't worry, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whew. Brother David, I think he gets tired of hearing me. Well, let me just correct that a minute. Is that all right? Correction begins at the house of the Lord. Brother M says, watch this, lifting him up out of history. He's waiting anxiously for his people to call him on the scene of action. Too many people got the mindset, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on what God's going to do. I mean, waiting on what God's going to do. God's going to do this, and I'm waiting on what God's going to do. And Brother M says, he's anxiously waiting on you just to call him on the action. Again, he says he's a historical God and he's a present time God. And the last days, he says, I'm going to pour my Spirit out upon all flesh, and signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. And the church said, amen. For in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. That was a historical God that gave the promise, and we're the people today of His pasture. We're the sheep of His fold, and He's waiting on us to stand and call Him. Phew, God mercy. Call Him on the action. Call Him on the scene. Watch Him go in to move us. Watch Him do the supreme. Watch Him do the things that man will wonder and scratch their heads and not understand. He's the historical God and a present day God, and He's waiting to be called out of history. But they some people that don't needs Him. But I do needs. It's the spirit of this age to get people to the point where they think that they can live without Him. Satan's ambition is to get people under a cold Laodicea spirit, an old self-sufficient spirit where I can handle this. Oh, I got this. I can take care of this. That ain't nothing but a Laodicea spirit. Because the Scripture says, according to Revelation 3, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of... Whew. You know what this age tells God? We don't need you. We got programs in our churches. I mean, we got missionary programs. We got food. We don't need you. We don't need your word. We don't need you. Leaf. Spirit of the age. And Satan will get them so backslid on God, he'll make them think about it. When they finally get to a place that God's going to move on them and fill the void up, when they recognize they can't do it without Him no matter how hard they try. And then what he'll do to somebody is, he'll make you think you went too far to call on Him. He'll make you think you went too far for God to move for you. I mean, He'll move for everybody else, but not you. You went too far. You've made too many mistakes. You've done too many things wrong. Amen, somebody. But He's a liar, of course. For the prophet said, never present water from the rock. The people in the testing time drops away like Israel did. Watch him. They think that God has left them, but remember, the rock never left Israel. Glory to God. Israel left the rock. It forgot about the rock being with them all the time. It was right there. Went right with them to the end of the road. It followed them. It wasn't out of speaking distance. It wasn't out of hearing distance. It wasn't even out of seeing distance. Glory! And neither is Christ with the church today. He's not out of speaking distance. Some of you backslid and done that which is wrong. And you've lost the joy. And your water's dried up. But He still in speaking distance. He, listen to this, He follows you. He knows every move you make and everything you do. He's longing to hear you call Him on the scene. Glory. He follows you. He follows you. This great Pentecostal move today, God's waiting for you to call Him on the scene. You're not out of speaking distance with Him, though we've done wrong and sinned and turned our backs on Him and done things we ought not to do. But yet He's with us. Christ said He would be with us. Well, but David, I'm running low. That's all right. He can fill you up. But I ain't got no joy. That's all right. He's a restorer. He's a supplier of all of our needs. David said like this, and I'll close. For He satisfies, listen to this. He satisfies the longing soul, and He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The problem we have is we fill up with the wrong things. How in the world could I take and put more in this container? It's already full. In other words, it can only hold to the proximity of what's left in there to be able to be contained. So you know what God requires you to do? Dump it out. You know what Brother Bram said? You know what the prophet said about the woman with the curse of the crucible that was going dry? He said, just pour it out. And Brother Bram said, she poured it right over in his face. There it is. It's empty. Fill it up. We fill it with everything else but God until we leave no room for God. Brother Bram says it like this. When you come to see God, don't just come on a flyer bed of ease. You have to make a... It's a sacrificial way. It's a way of death. You have to die out to come to Him. You have to forget all you ever know in order to learn of Him. Woo, I like that. How many of those Brother Bram said that Moses learned more in 5 minutes in the presence of God than he did 40 years of Egypt's teaching? God don't need 40 years to reveal this message to you. He gave Moses what he needed in 5 minutes. Glory! But all you got to do is learn how to submit into His presence. I'm going to say it again. We've got to learn how to submit. Because that didn't happen to me overnight, just to be honest with you. I had to learn how to submit. I'm just being honest with you. But I ain't always been good at it. But I'm finding out the more I depend on Him, and less I depend on me, the better it's going to turn out anyway. Oh, my brother, I said, you come to die out. He said, you have to forget all you ever know in order to learn of an empty out that He can fill us. You don't mix it now. You have to empty out. If you can just empty your own intellectual thoughts out and give God the right away, He can declare His characters for the work of your yielding. Empty out. Get the world. Get your doubts out of the way. God wants to move so bad. Maybe upon your sickness, your disease, your need in your life. But we got so many doubts that's clouding the way. We got to rip through the doubts. Amen. If you come to this altar, we pray for, I'll go up and see if I get healed. God can never declare His works. You got to get your own thoughts out of the way and let Him fill you. Too many times I've robbed God because of my own thinking. But there's times you've got to be perseverant. Times you've got to be determined. There's times I've got to press beyond just my feelings. And I've got to press beyond these thoughts. That battleground up there, I've got to press beyond them. The Lord Abraham said, persevering, that's all we have to do is empty out to every creed, everything that's in us, every nonsense, every ungodly unbelief, that the Holy Spirit might fill us and seal every pore of our believing, every pore of our minds, until we won't notice whether it's your neighbor, who's sitting around you. God have mercy. I want to preach in that church right there. You don't care who's around you. You don't care if there's a doctor in the building. You don't care if the president's in the building. You don't care who's around you. I'm coming to see Jesus tonight. Matter of fact, you may want to scoot over and give me some room, because if Jesus comes by, I'm going to let you know He's near me. Amen! You don't care whether it's your neighbor who's sitting around you. You're sealed into the kingdom of God. And you can stand and buffet the waves as you go through a persecution. How can God fill me unless I empty everything I am out? And God wants to fill us. He wants to fill me. And there ain't nothing that God can't fix. I mean, Satan tells you, well, you done took it too far. You done went too far this way. You done too many things wrong now. There's no way. I mean, He can help everybody else, but not you. There ain't no addiction that Jesus can't fix. Amen. Preach, Brother David. There ain't no hidden sin that Jesus don't know about anyway. And there ain't no besetting sin that you deal with that He can't help you overcome it. Amen. There ain't no issues He can't take care of. He's a delivering God. He delivers from sickness. He delivers from disease. He delivers from pornography spirits. He delivers from lust spirits. Preach, Brother David. He delivers from drugs and alcohol and unbelief. He'll even deliver you from a religious spirit. Amen! Brother, you're having a hard time keeping your eyes off the women of this world. He can fix you. There's a need in you, whether you know it or not, that's calling out. He can fix that. Get you out. But Brother David, that's not deep. It may not be deep. But I promise you, you empty out, God will fill you. Well, I've made some mistakes. I've got some things wrong. You don't know how bad I've been. I don't have to sit and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. All I can just tell the devil is, I'm letting you know I'm tired of you. I'm calling him on the scene. Can't handle this no more. Can't deal with this no more. He can take people, even young people today. You'd be amazed if the young people commit suicide right here in America that we live in today. Amen. You wouldn't believe the people around our message, young people around our message that contemplate suicide. Brother, I know what I'm talking about. I've prayed for them. Amen, somebody. You don't know what daddies and mamas is fighting in their minds. You don't know the battles, even though they come here and smile, lift their hands, and everything looks like it's just fine. But on the inside, they're a ball of nerves. You know why? They got a need. Why is it? Why do we wait? I feel the Holy Ghost. Why do we wait so long and get so low before we ask God for His help? Because old Slewfoot comes around and tries to tell us that, oh, you're okay. You're all right. But He's my rock. He's my water. He's my meal. He's my manna. He's my husband. He's my lover. He's my supplier. He's my King. He's omniscient. He's infinite. And He knows me. He's the electricity when you ain't got the money to pay your bills. He's the gas in your tank, brother, when you need gas to get back and forth to work. It's what He is. He's all I need. Whatever my need is, that's what He is. We was just kids growing up, very poor. My dad was going off working. We had propane in the tank. And on Sunday night, that propane was running out. The gas gauge is about to fall out on the ground. And he's going to be gone another 2 weeks. And guess what? The propane never went out. In the middle of winter, He was the propane that we needed to keep our bodies warm. Hallelujah. He's the medicine that you need when you're sick. If you ain't got money to pay it, I ain't got money to pay it, that's all right. Let me tell you, He's not just a physician. He's the great physician. Not only is he a physician, he's a tower. And the scripture says he's a strong tower. Not only is he a strong tower, he's an altar. He's an altar I bring my needs to. He's an altar that I bring my troubles to. He's my supplier. He's everything I have need of. Remember, Brother Brown, let me let our musicians come. Remember, Brother Brown, I'm talking about that woman in Memphis, had that boy that was sick. She ain't never heard the seals. She didn't know anything about the thunders. She never even heard the third pool quoted, probably. But she did have a need. And she did believe God. And it did move her to prayer. And she said, Lord, I'd be like that woman in the scripture. I'd be like that woman in the scripture. And Lord, if I'm like her, then where's your Elijah at? About that time, Elijah was flying over in an airplane. Glory! You know what God did? Seen the need and granted an airplane. Hallelujah! Brought the prophet. Think about it. God brought the answer to her trouble right down her street, right down her road, right to her front door, and walked in her very own house. Hallelujah. He's all I need. Hallelujah. Brother Bram said, he walked in there and said, why don't you lead us in prayer? Brother Bram said, I could tell she'd talked with him before. Amen. Can you imagine? That same God cares just as much tonight as he did for that woman that day. Scripture warns us. So don't be like them bunch of hypocrites. For the Father knoweth what you have need of before you ever even ask. Let's bow our hearts tonight. Praise God. Brother Dave, that's just so simple. I know it is. But that's what he told me to preach. And I think we've been serving him long enough now that we know it's worth my time and my whole week of studying if God just speaks to one person in this building tonight. And I don't know you. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what garbage you brought in this building, what things is haunting you, what the devil's taught. I have no idea. But let me tell you something about God. He knows what your need is. Young person, he knows what your trouble is. He knows what your need is tonight. He said, Brother David, I'm not sure that he can meet this need. Don't you see how that works up on your mind, trying to make you doubt, trying to pull you to one side or another in your mind, thinking, just wait, it'll be over in a few minutes. He ain't really talking to you. He's talking to other people. Those are a bunch of people. There's a lot of other people's got the needs. No, I'm talking to you. And God can come right down your street, right into your city, down into your town, down to your neighborhood, and walk right to your front door. All because you got a need. All because you got a need. The power of my need can call Almighty God present right on the scene. Somebody in this building tonight. Who is it? Who pulled me out of what I wanted to preach? Who is it tonight? God bless that hand, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God sees that hand, brother. You can't lift it without him not seeing it. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God seeing your hand. God bless you, brother. You see, God knows your need. And he'd send me into this place tonight to let you know, sister. To let you know, brother. He knoweth you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. He knows what you're going through. He's mindful of it. He knows what your need is. Hallelujah. Oh, he's all I need. Yes, he's all I need. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is all I need. Hallelujah. I said he's all. Hallelujah. Yes, he's all I need. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Why don't you just lift your hand to him and remind him, Lord? I said he's all. Yes, you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're all we need tonight. Jesus, He's all glory. Oh, praise God. Amen. I said He's all. Lord, you know my need tonight. I said He's all. Oh, glory to God. Yes, Jesus. Let's sing it one more time now. Lord, you're all. Go ahead and surrender to Him tonight. There ain't no sense in carrying it, my brother. Sister, there ain't no sense in carrying that around. Why don't you let Him have it tonight? Yield to Him and let Him move on your behalf. Oh, hallelujah. Be to God. Aren't you glad He's your need provider? He's your husband. He's your King. He's your Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright. He's the morning star. What kind of need would you have tonight that Jesus can't meet? Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Father, I see that you would draw.
Hallelujah.
Line in the sand.
Can we worship Him now?
I want to be standing by your side. Pour Lord in your hand.
Yes, I do.
Let your kingdom come.
Let it come tonight, Lord.
Let it live in me.
Oh, yes.
This is my prayer.
Make it be your prayer tonight.
This is my plea. Let the worshiper. Sons and his daughters sing. Are awakening to see from our hearts it comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song. Give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. Is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord. Your word is not in vain tonight, Lord. Help me to stay yielded and empty, Lord. Help this congregation to stay yielded, surrendered, I pray. Lord, teach us. Give us the ability to be able to yield tonight. Oh God, past our feelings, past our thoughts, past our emotions, Lord. Lord, I want to be able to stay yielded in your presence tonight. For Lord, we don't know when we'll pass by somebody with such a tremendous need. And Lord, you're going to need me. Help us to yield ourselves. I give everything that I am, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Well, it's mercy that rewrote my life. Do you believe it is you? Oh God. Yes, it's mercy rewrote my life. Should have fallen, my soul cast down. What happened to you? Amen. Yes, it rewrote. Could we sing that together as a congregation now? Oh, I said,
rewrote.
You love me. Hallelujah. I'm amazed that you love me.
Tears I cry. In one day. salvation. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me.
Keep me in the valley, and I'm in.
The blood will never lose its power. Brother, this service tonight was exactly what He had planned. I want to stay yielded. I want to stay yielded. God, I don't want to preach what I want to preach. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to follow His leadership. Because when you get in His control, oh my, what can He do? He has sway over the world. He filleth all in all. He's the head of the body, head of the church. Amen. Sit here for the church to provide. Praise God. I said it reaches to the high. Does anybody else believe that tonight? Let's let him hear it. I said it flows to the low, the lowest valley. Yes, the blood that gives me my strength. Oh, from death. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Well, Jesus getting us ready. I said that Jesus getting us ready.